ain't true. Is it a good thing? No, it's bad. For good or worse, makes you switch. So I walk on over with my crystal. Put away your pistol. Dirty won't be having that in this house. Cause I'll cripple your style. Now that you heard my charming voice, you couldn't get another. You won't get moist. If you wanna look good and not be bummy, yo, you better give me that money.
Hey! What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is your favorite 2 hours. Actually, it's hour two with the Lunch Break crew. Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. You see, he got the sound right. Quick, instant, instant, 30. Man, I got a little something on the menu, Shannon. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. What's happening? Shannon, how you feeling? Shannon, how you feeling? Stop playing with me.
Your mic's muted, Shannon.
I feel like I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. That appetizer a lot of times leads into a different conversation, unexpected side dishes, but that's all right. It's all right. That's what it's all about, building.
Man, that was a good conversation, man. I wish this was today. I wish we was doing that today, but we're going to save it because we want to make sure y'all get it in its full essence that we want to deliver this good food, man. It's hour two already. Damn, that was quick.
Ryan,
I know I had a rough start to that first segment. You know, I had to.
We got through it, though. That's all right. Occupado.
That's what I thought Shannon did yesterday. Oh, no.
Ray is funny, dude. Man, listen. Now listen to Ray.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We got Sandra on the line. Shannon went crazy. How you doing, Miss Sandra? Good to hear from you.
I'm fine. How are we doing today?
I'm doing a bunch better this hour. Right. Doing a lot better this hour.
Okay, that's good. I was listening. And actually, I listen all the time. I listen to what everybody got to say. I listen to Sherwin. I listen to Michelle Bryan. I listen to everybody. And what I wanted to say, I don't want to take too much of your time, but what I wanted to say, like, a lot of times when you got these problems, a lot of funding has been cut from them. Like, you see, it's political. Because every time you look up, like, even this FEMA stuff, they want to cut that. Now your Center of Disease Control, that control diseases from coming in here. Now the funding is being cut from that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always political, and funding gets cut, so the people can't get the help they need. And how did the drugs come in here in the first place? Because if you watch that documentary 13th I told you about, it was deliberately set up in the inner city for us, black people.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of history behind it. And we really need historians to come in and set our people to what's really going down, because they don't know. Because a lot of young kids don't listen to the radio. Because I have young relatives, too, and they don't listen. But speaking of liquor stores, yeah, we got a plenty. I got one next door to me. And did you think the guy picked up? They're those Indian people. You know, they own a lot of grocery stores and stuff like that.
Corner
he will
store.
Not pick up nothing.
Yeah.
He will walk past bottles. They throw them in my yard. I went over there, and you know what else he did? He built him a home off of our money. It's not my money. I don't buy nothing from him. But our money supports them.
Hmm.
And everybody look at us as being this crazy don't have no sense and rowdy people and like to stay there and this and that. All they see is negative of us. And these people come in here, they make money. I think Sherman was saying something about the money that we spend. And they say, I'm going to stay in that neighborhood one day.
Yeah.
Maybe we need some scholars to come in here and teach us that stuff. Because I'm 77, so I know about where my next step is. But if we can get people in that can, even you can, you know, you look it up and you start reading about all this stuff and you learn where it really originated from, then we can get them educated. I think we got to get them educated.
Mm-hmm. 100%, Miss Sandra, I agree with you 100%. We do need some more historians to tell the history of how our people got to this point. Because they say if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going to go to. So we do need more historians to come and tell these stories. And also, too, to hear the stories of how we were a resilient people. We weren't just no poor, you know, just in stress population of people. We need to make sure we're telling about the triumphs of our people as well. The Mansa Musas, Mali back in the day and so forth. So I think the history aspect is extremely important. And, you know, even with the liquor store conversation she was saying, that's an important conversation too. Because we aren't the ones that own these liquor stores, gas stations, corner stores. You know what I mean? We might have a little bit more stake in corner stores, but for sure liquor stores, I could count on one hand how many black-owned liquor stores is it?
Man, you can count. Look, I can't even count one.
I know of one for sure now.
I don't.
It's one on Fond du Lac and like right before you get to North Avenue. It's a young black brother that owned that liquor store, right?
Yeah.
But even gas stations, what is it, one gas station?
I remember you, I think you posted about that.
Yeah, absolutely. The one on Atkinson. The one on, what's that, 9th and Atkinson or 6th and Atkinson?
The BP, right?
Yep, the BP over there.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. And when you think about those things that like pretty much specifically serve our community or do well in our communities, even when you think about beauty supply stores, those are not owned by black people. It's very rare. I don't even think I know one in Milwaukee that is, but I remember one of my friends, she was interested in it and she was like, they really like, they protect the resources. You know what I'm saying? They not just giving anybody game. They not just letting people in like, oh, this is where you can find wholesale this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like that. So it's really hard to get stake in what's already in our community.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And then now we're at the point where, in my opinion, liquor stores is oversaturated in our community, right?
Oh, yeah.
So now
yeah,
you have a common council that is, and rightfully so, right? That is more like hesitant to open up any new liquor stores because there is enough of them. But guess what? The black man or black woman or the black entrepreneur, they try to go to Mequon and open up a liquor store. Go try to walk
anything over there.
But especially a liquor
anything
store.
Anything over there.
You know, you got to go to Piggly Wiggly's or something to get it. Like, ain't no just... You might get an Otto's or something, but it ain't just no whole bunch of liquor stores spread throughout Mequon. No.
And it looked crazy. It looked crazy, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, that don't even look good. Just a million liquor stores. Two on each corner.
And then
one to each house. Like,
next to one for each church. We're gonna have a liquor store, a church, and a daycare. That's what we're going to have on the block.
Listen, you said it.
Look at that. That's not even me trying to be funny. That's just me
taking
a walk down Village.
That's what you said it. Literally. And then it repeats itself.
Yeah, go to the next block
church.
Over. Man.
Take care.
Liquor store beauty.
It's like, unfortunate.
100%.
In the beauty supply store.
Yep, beauty supply
and beauty
store,
supply
and then that's gonna be the Asians that own that.
They're gonna
be the Asians that own that. But yeah, I would love to see our people get more involved with ownership because we have to own things, but we have to teach our young people, our family members, the importance of ownership and investing in all of these different things. Yeah. Because we are falling behind. Absolutely. We got to invest with people that look like us. And it is nothing wrong with pushing that narrative. Nothing is wrong with pushing the narrative of, hey, let's spend some money with us. Let's focus on pushing us. Let's focus on spending with us. Because our community need it. Miss Sandra just said, our dollar don't stay in our community a day. Because everybody in our community, in our pockets, the people that own the stores in our community, like literally in our neighborhoods, where we got to go shop, spend our money, they don't look like us.
And they barely even want you there or barely treat you like a human.
Hurry
like
somebody, up. Hurry up.
Somebody.
Hurry up and bite.
Get out.
One, even two, when you think three, about nail four, salon, how many?
Even when you think about the nail salons, people like they hold our like nail techs and hairstylists to these standards. Mm-hmm. But even when you go in them nail salons, they not talking to you. They not delivering the greatest customer service. They gonna do your nails rough. They gonna throw your hand how they want you to lay it. They not even going, let me grab this finger. No, they gonna grab the finger and start you just sitting there. But like when it comes to us working on us, we don't give each other that much grace. But
shouts out to Center Street Nail Salon, Center Street Nail Tech Academy, too. Dr. Potts,
oh, that's right,
that's out there. She cranking out them black nail technicians and giving their getting everybody their licenses. So I do like seeing things like that where, you know, we prioritizing fast tracking black people to entrepreneurship. So shouts out to the Center Street Nail Tech. Actually, my niece, my little cousin, went and got her license from over there as well. But don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we will finally get into debt as we're talking about the circulation of revenue and things like that. We're going to get into this $40 trillion when we get back on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the lunch break on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. Money! Man. We talking about the U.S. debt hits $40 trillion. Damn! That's a lot of money.
Ain't it?
Just give me one.
I just want a little stimulus check. I don't even need a trillion. I just need $100.
If it's a trillion for me to be had, I want it. Put it in my hands.
Y'all
I'll
got
do
a
the right thing.
Trillion.
With it.
I take it.
Man, the U.S. national debt officially crossed $40 trillion on Tuesday, August 18th, 2026, hitting the mark months earlier than forecasters expected. We got there faster than they expected, largely due to lost tariff revenue after courts invalidated many of President Trump's tariffs. So they're saying because they invalidated some of them outrageous tariffs that was going to be costing our citizens more money. They said that's why we in debt. Because all these companies do is pass that tariff tax on to us. Why we act like we don't know that? They should make it illegal to pass on tariff taxes and stuff like that. That's what they should do.
Yeah.
But it took the country roughly 200 years to hit its first trillion in debt. Damn. We've been getting to it, haven't we? 200 years to hit its first trillion in debt in 1981. I wasn't even born yet.
So it took 200 years. Right. And now we have 40, but this first trillion happened in 81, and now we have 40.
Damn.
Oh,
so in about,
brother.
That's about what, 44 years? About 44 years. We added a trillion a year since 81. It's now added 10 trillion in under a decade. Debt stood at 19.4 trillion just 10 years ago. Jesus. That works out to about 117,000 or 120,000 in debt for every single American, or roughly 297,000 per household. Why are they putting America debt on us? Don't work it out on our don't put that on me.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Straight up.
Look, I know for a fact I ain't spend a trillion. Look,
I ain't had no parts in that.
Damn.
Straight up. Debt held by the public, the more economically meaningful measure, has now exceeded the entire size of the U.S. economy. The first time that's happened since World War II, when the country was demobilizing. What does this mean for Americans, Shannon? Because we hear this number, we $40 trillion in debt. I know when they say you $4,000 in debt, I know what that does to us as a citizen.
Man.
But what they want us to do, telling us something like, oh, the U.S. hits $40 trillion in debt.
What that got to do with me?
I guess the everyday person supposed to dig deep in them pockets like we giving ties and make sure get America out of debt, huh?
Right.
While he building a gold, what is he, a golden ballroom? We supposed to be.
Driving us more in debt. Ain't that crazy? What happened to the Doge,
like, donate
company,
to my gold
the Doge
ballroom.
Department?
I think that got disbanded.
Right. Exactly. They didn't.
Yeah, because wasn't they?
The Department of what?
They was harassing grandma and grandpa on Social Security, wasn't they?
Department
is that
of
the department I'm thinking of?
Yeah, the Department of Government Efficiency, where they was trying to save money or whatever.
Elon Musk and them.
Right.
Yeah, by kicking old people off their Social Security. And yeah. That,
fired a whole group of people that they needed. Like, it was just doing wild stuff, man. So what does this mean for Americans, Shannon? Interest alone on the debt is now over $1.2 trillion a year. So we getting $1.2 trillion a year in interest is crazy. More than the entire defense budget and more than the government spends on almost anything else outright. I feel like that's a lie. I feel like we be spending so much money on BS. How much we spend on them bombs?
That's exactly what, yeah, because a lot of defense military spending is the reason that we're in these debts. But they want to make it seem like that ain't the reason. Like, nana $300 a month check is why we owe $400 trillion.
Straight up.
$40 trillion, let me stop.
Rising debt pushes up borrowing costs for everyone. Keep me out of y'all nonsense. I ain't borrowing nothing. Not just the government. I guess so. Here we go. Mortgages, car loans, and credit cards all get more expensive as investors demand higher returns to keep lending to an increasingly indebted country. This is just sick.
Yeah. This because is sick. We're paying for what they did, basically.
Yeah. And then
you already got these loan sharks.
They pass it on to us. In our mortgage rates, our car loans, credit card rates. Because investors demand higher returns to keep lending to an increasingly indebted country. So the people that is lending a country money, they like, we need higher returns. Else we ain't giving you no more. Mm-mm. You brought this up, Shannon. The Social Security Trust Fund is projected to run out in 20. This is insane. What are we going to do when we get hit? This is around the corner. The Social Security Trust Fund is projected to run out in 2032. With Medicare's Trust Fund. Wild. With Medicare Trust Fund following the year after. So Social Security and Medicare is planning on running out in 2032 and then 2033. That's 5 and 6 years from now.
Isn't that the money that you work all your life putting away for it to look out for you when you retire, right?
I would like to say I think that's what Social Security is. It's something that your employer,
that's what it's supposed
I think,
to be.
Yeah.
So how are we running out of what I put up? And then y'all also increasing interest on stuff.
Man, we gonna we ran out of that money you put up for yourself.
Bruh. Oops.
I'm gonna need you to start putting up a little bit more for yourself.
Exactly.
So I can use it.
Like, where the original monies go? Remember the original monies?
Man, it's about to run out, y'all. Magic Johnson said something at a Invest Fest. He said, we got 3 years to get our stuff together, y'all, financially. This economy is about to go through something very, very drastic. They saying we got 3 years to get our stuff together.
I believe it. It's a few TikTokers right now that have come across my timeline that have like Amex cards or whatever. And they said like their limit got cut almost in half out of nowhere. A few people reported that, and somebody else said in 2008 or around whenever that recession was, whatever, that's what they started doing because they know trends that are happening before we actually know them. So they're like, oh, we know these people ain't gonna be able to pay this back soon. So let's start cutting stuff now. So they'll start doing things like that. One of my cards actually did it. I was like, I don't even use this card. Why are y'all cutting this? Mm-hmm. Like, what'd I do to y'all? But they're preparing. They're preparing before the storm. So
they did that to my Apple credit card. A credit card that I ain't even want. They asked me. It's like, you should fill out. Please fill out for this. They started me with like 3 G's on that card.
They don't cut you down to $200. Like, excuse me?
They just random. After I paid the bill, that's what pissed me off, too. Because usually, you know, you use a card, and then you pay it all the way off. So we was flipping a house. Put all the materials on there, and then at the end of the month, I paid the balance off in full. They was like, thank you for your payment. We're reducing your limit to $500.
Sick.
I'm like,
sick.
You.
Like, they.
Biscuit licking bulldog. Yeah, man. They did me super bogus. So how did we get here, Shannon? The three big drivers per the CBO and Peter G. Peterson. What type of name is that? Peter G. Peterson Foundation. An aging population drawing more Social Security and Medicare. That's why it's about to run out. Tax cuts over the last two decades that reduced government revenue. And a series of costly emergencies. The 2008 financial crisis. COVID-19 that required massive one-time borrowing that never got paid back down. Three big drivers, y'all. They basically said people getting old. It's an aging population, Social Security. But that's what happens when we got a system that has taught society to rely on said system. So now we, you know, they taught our grandparents, our parents that your Social Security is going to be safe.
Yep.
And now it's about to run out.
To take care of you.
Now it's about to run out.
That's scary.
Like, why this ain't a way larger conversation happening in this country? People about to lose their Social Security and Medicare. In the next 5 to 6 years, they saying it's about to run out. How are we going to replenish it? I'm sorry. I don't got nothing on it.
You ain't going to donate to the 40 trillion. Right.
40T? When we get back.
We can use you.
I would like to know, would y'all, if the government asked you, that they going to raise taxes? They going to put it on they going to raise taxes. I want to know, are you down to help make sure Our grandparents and parents got their Social Security. Don't go anywhere, y'all, when we get back on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
It's my money and I need it now!
Don't go anywhere.
Lifestyle, man. It's a lot of just to live this here lifestyle. Yeah, yeah. What up, y'all? Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the lunch break with Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z, holding us down with the production and sound.
Oh, that was different.
That's what he said.
No.
What? You know what? I never understood what Thug said. Life like a pecan.
Hey, y'all's over here mumbling.
I thought he said living life like a pecan, feeling like That's what I thought he said, man.
Living life like a pecan is crazy. What do you mean?
Man. What up, y'all? Welcome back. What's up, Shannon? Go ahead.
Welcome us back. I had an intrusive thought.
No, let it out. I already did. I'm working this back already.
Have y'all ever had those honey roasted pecans? Those only type of
Oh my God.
Those were so good.
They used to be at the Bradley Center or Pfizer. Yes. Especially when they warm.
I mean, you get them at sporting events.
Oh my goodness.
Man, you know what?
That's so good.
I'm old school though. Give me a nice bag of peanuts at the ball game. Something about that roasted peanuts.
You like paydays?
In my younger days, I wasn't mad at a payday.
I gotta wipe some of the peanuts off. That's too much. But you a peanut guy. you like that Mandela juice.
Wow.
Wow. Peanut butter.
Anyway,
peanut butter.
So debt.
What is going on?
My bad.
That was crazy.
Now every time we think about peanut butter and peanuts, I correlate.
Man. Yeah. I almost went on a peanut butter tangent again, but I'll tell y'all after. But I'm
we gotta get back on debt.
Let's get back on this debt.
Caramel twigs. My bad.
So, like we said, y'all, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the $40 trillion that we as cousins owe to who we gonna get there.
But who is we?
We as United States citizens, as employees of the U.S. corporation.
Yo soy Mexicano.
You ain't Mexican. You Mexican.
He's like, look, I can pass.
Mi padre es cubano. But the three big drivers, y'all, that drove our debt up is Peter. He got the same first and last name. Peter G. Peterson Foundation says an aging population drawing more Social Security and Medicare, tax cuts over the last two decades that reduced government revenue, and a series of costly emergencies, the 2008 financial crisis, and COVID-19 that required a massive one-time borrowing that never really got paid back. I wonder if that's the money they borrowed to give us them stimulus checks.
Yeah, but
so technically we owe
something about... They've done a lot more damage than us.
Shannon had one of them EINs that was on the list.
Let me find out you applied for the PPP loan, Shannon.
Listen, I'm upset I didn't because nobody went to jail. Nobody haven't. Listen, they had that 100,000 wow and they did.
Some people got hemmed up now. It came and collected.
Did, but
you're going.
It was worth the risk. That's all I'm saying.
Man,
everybody was balling. I was like, no, I'm gonna do it the right way. I ain't gonna do it.
Man, that's crazy. But
people that did it multiple times, like Baby Blue, the singer, the rapper, he went to jail for that.
Oh, he did go to jail for that.
That's because he had, yeah, but that's because he had like millions in PPP loans. Like, come
but
on.
I will say this: a lot of white companies did it too. A lot of white companies did it and falsified PPP documents and got millions of dollars in money that they was said that they were supposed to be paying employees with and didn't do it. So that's why 40 million. And come on now. Y'all know by the time our community get on something, we late. The whites have already done
and it's already being investigated. We already in the hot seat.
We,
pew, pew, pun gun.
We in there just, we there to get caught. That's why they let us in. They let us in to get caught. Like
y'all can't deal with the aftermath of it. We already got away good. We
straight good. Up. Man, so who do we actually owe, Shannon? About 80% of the debt is held by the public. Meaning real outside lenders. Them same folks that's like, we ain't giving you no more because we want higher rates. So you going to have to, you know, we want better returns. So they pass those returns down to these lenders. Roughly 24% of the total debt is about $9.3 million. Is held by foreign governments and investors. The rest is domestic. American banks, mutual funds, pension funds, individual investors, and the Federal Reserve itself, which alone holds about $4.5 trillion. Japan! Japan! is the single largest foreign holder of about $1.2 trillion, followed by the United Kingdom, holds about $925 billion. China, $650 billion, a level that's been steadily shrinking for over a decade as China diversifies away from U.S. debt. They like, y'all debt ain't even good no more. Y'all money not good no more, so we ain't even buying y'all bonds.
Bruh.
That's sad.
No single foreign country holds enough debt to meaningfully control U.S. policy, though. Even China's share is under 2% of the total. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is actually the largest non-government holder among individuals with about $339 billion in treasury bills. I told y'all America is a business. It's a corporation. And as citizens, we just employees, y'all. That's how we got to break it down. And all this debt is shares that other companies are buying. But what I learned in this research is, you see, you hear all of these numbers and you like, well, damn, they finna come. We even had it was a rumor that I was like, America had to sell Detroit to China because we.
Oh my God.
I mean, Sherman y'all wants to sell China Racine. Racine may be sold for grabs.
Do y'all think China would accept Detroit, though? Be like, sure, we'll take it. I don't.
They would take T Grizzly and leave the rest.
No, I think they would definitely take Detroit. Definitely take Detroit. Yeah, Detroit, that's good land out there. Think of all the landfills or the, you know, Detroit had a very similar housing situation where they had blocks of just abandoned houses, like big houses, nobody in them, just blocks and blocks and blocks, and people were buying them. People was buying them up. A lot of the outside investors was from China.
China.
Ain't that how Trump say it?
Dude. The China virus, yes.
Coronavirus.
Somebody said at least, but Bar 2028 said at least we worked on the pool and we about to get the ballroom. Shannon, lend me $36 until Saturday, August 22nd.
Man,
then we got Jasmine Jazz West said they have fun with all of our money,
100%.
And then Marlon said save what to live. Yeah, that's what we're doing now, just saving to live.
Invest.
And then we also have, DQ6Q3Y, defense spending, tax cuts for the rich, major reasons corporate subsidy for oil companies alike. And then you have the same. Nope, Marlon said complete control is next. They will tell you how much toilet paper you can use. And then DQ6Q3Y said, why do companies get subsidies when they make record-breaking profits? We also have Todd in the comments. He said SS has so been getting robbed. Yeah. And that's kind of what Todd said. Todd said Social Security has been getting robbed by all the administrations to pay their pet projects for a long time, and they never put it back.
Nope.
The federal government has provided about $4.6 trillion to help the nation respond to and recover from COVID.
And we spent so much money aiding other people in wars that's not important to our country. Or genocides.
Man.
It's going to get quiet on that. But that's another topic. It get real quiet on the creek when you say that G word. It get real quiet. Let me see who anybody pulled up to the window, gave me the finger like.
No, I pulled up to the window. Check the window. It's crazy.
I had to look over, man. So we went through who we actually owe, right? And I wanted to know, like, all right, under which presidency did we add the most debt? So we pulled those numbers up, right? The raw dollars, Biden added most of any of the recent presidents, right? $8.4 trillion in roughly 4 years, narrowly ahead of Obama, $8 trillion. Depending on what we're measuring it at, over 8 years, though, for Obama. Trump's first term, $7.8 trillion in 4 years. In percentage terms, the picture flips. Obama's debt grew about 70-88% over his two terms versus about 30-40% of each of Trump's first terms and Biden's term, meaning by percentage growth earlier and wartime, President FDR doing World War II, 1,000%, and Reagan was 187%. That's who dominates the list. Since a smaller starting debt makes percentage jumps larger. So, whoever you want to blame, the debt has now roughly doubled under both parties' watch. let's just say that.
Yeah.
All right? It ain't about a person. Under both parties' watch, the debt has roughly doubled over the last decade. So this ain't no one-side problem. And pretending otherwise is, you know, part of why nobody in Washington has to fix it. Huh. Or has even tried to fix
it. Just pointing fingers.
Just pointing fingers. Exactly. And sending more bombs. Giving more aid. What you got, Shannon? I'm gonna be quiet. They gonna be the Shannon gonna land, like, and they gonna be like, the truth has now been.
We're gonna go in a different direction, actually.
Right.
We're cutting you guys off, but I honestly do feel like it's a finger pointing game, and then like you said, it always boils down to like us paying for it in the end. Like Social Security was supposed to be there as a protection pretty much. Like, okay, you put into it and when you retire, you get it. Now we're hearing like, that's going to be gone by the time I retire. I've been working since I was 14. Now what I'm supposed to do?
Sure, they said it's going to be gone in 2032. When you going to retire, Shannon?
Never.
Don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we're going to find out when Shannon's going to retire. Because she said Social Security going to retire by the time she retire. Social Security retiring in 5 years. We'll be right back, y'all, on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.
Whoa, what up, y'all? Welcome back. It's Schlappy on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the Lunch Break Crew, Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, Brother Z. What it do? How y'all feeling, man? We talking about that Munyon.
Hopefully retiring one day. It's looking real... don't put your eggs in one basket-ish right now.
Yeah, Shannon. So I got to scroll back up real quick.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, you said something before we went on break. And Social Security Trust Fund is projected to run out in 2032 with Medicare Trust Fund following the year after. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I ain't worked a job in a long time. But retirement, that's your Social Security and stuff, right?
I believe so. Like, Social Security is supposed to basically be put away for when you retire, and then you get, like, a check each month.
So when you retiring, Shannon?
You know, I think the average American retires at, like, 65, 67. Yeah.
So you got at least a good...
It's looking like I'm going to be a Walmart greeter.
It ain't gonna be nothing left for you, Shannon.
AI gonna be doing that.
2032. That's you better retire tomorrow.
Man,
put your papers into the truth. Be like, man, you know what, y'all? I'm gonna go retire before this thing run out and make sure there's something left I could get.
Let me just get my little money.
But so we went through the presidents, we went through what we actually owe, who we actually owe. And what you think, Shannon? You want to hit this on the menu? What on the menu you want to hit? We got a couple more minutes.
Okay, hold on. Let me check out the menu.
We could go what drives us into debt and keeps us into debt. Or we could talk about the importance of life insurance and investing.
I think the importance of life insurance and investment, because I feel like at this point we got to start fending for ourselves. If that retirement don't come through, we got to have other sources. It's some people that depend on that. They like, when I retire, I should get this much a month. And it's like, it ain't looking so promising right now. So I think we should definitely talk about investing.
All right, let's talk about life insurance. The numbers most people don't know. Then we'll get into some investing, and this was where the real gap is. We'll probably run this back because this is actually an important conversation to try to squeeze in 3 to 4 minutes. But 56% of Black Americans already own some sort of life insurance. That's actually pretty good. Actually higher than the 52% of national average. Okay. Look at us. We ain't at the bottom. This isn't a participation gap. The real gap is in what kind. There it is. Black Americans are four more likely to carry policies that only cover funeral/final expenses, 66%. Cite that as their primary reason for having coverage. So just want to make sure they can pay for the funeral and stuff. Versus 48% of the general population. 46% of Black policyholders remain uninsured, meaning their coverage can't actually replace lost income or transfer real wealth to the next generation. So this matters because term life insurance is a pure affordable safety net. Income replacement if something happens to you. Whole/cash value life insurance costs more, but builds cash value over time and can function as a wealth transfer tool. Different tools for different goals, and most families are only using one of them, and often only for burial costs. So we're going to have to get somebody up here that could talk about life insurance, because I started looking into life insurance more with one of my Masonic brothers, and he'd been walking me through the process. And I definitely wish I'd looked into this. It's a particular life insurance that kind of turns into your own bank. So that's the one I'm looking into right now, because obviously I just got the, when I'm out of here, y'all don't got to pay for it, insurance. So just wanted to get the, you know, updates on and what that looks like. But it's so much that goes into how much the policy costs as well, like your age, how old you are now, if you smoke, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on
what is it called? Underlying health conditions.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's super important. A lot of us kind of don't think about it as a way to set our families up for after we're gone. I had life insurance, but I did realize, like, after talking to somebody, I had the life insurance that, like, you know, it grows and, like, they'll get something. But there's also other life insurances out there where you can put into it and then you can take from it as well, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So there's so many different life insurances out there, but I do think it's important. I know my mom was saying, like, she, you know, her father passed away and she used to always talk to him about, like, you should get life insurance, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, I feel like that's jinxing. You know what I'm saying? Jinxing myself. I don't mm-hmm. want to do it. I'm not signing that paper. Like, just like old and having like those, what is it called when you have those superstitions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, I ended up having to foot the bill for the whole funeral. It's like,
man.
Like, bro, like, come on now. So, and it's better to do it earlier than later, I do know, because you never know what life brings at you, right? Like, when you become 30 and 40 and 50, like, you start to have these health conditions. Maybe you pick up different habits. Like, when you're younger and you already have it in place, I think it's way more cheap. But you can definitely get into some cheap life insurance. But yeah, I think it's important. It's an important conversation to have. You want to protect your family and protect yourself. Life insurance is definitely something to look into. But you also have to know what kind you get in, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And keep them policies up. Stop. Let's not let them lapse, man. We be,
man.
You know, we be just letting it.
Put it on auto pay.
Straight up. Look, I'm saying it like I got mine's on auto pay.
Mine was. And my problem is when something go on auto pay, I won't even realize I had life insurance for about, oh my God, like 15 years. Didn't even realize it.
If it wasn't for my wife.
I was like, what am I, why do I have this?
I'd be a piece of driftwood in Lake Michigan if it wasn't for my wife.
Listen, that's okay. You picked the right wife then. That's a you got good decision making skills at least.
Straight up, man. Straight up. My exposure to lead was minimized. So I made some better decisions.
Good.
I almost said something that would have sent us up. Uh-oh. I ain't gonna say it. Before somebody call in. You're like, it's good women in this zip code.
We got 1 minute, Ray.
Nah, we good. You got it, Shannon. Uh-oh. Oh, we got, what's the quote of the day? Do I got a quote? The quote is, let us have a bank that will take the nickels and turn them into dollars. Maggie Lena Walker, who was actually our today's black financial pioneer. In 1903, Maggie Lena Walker founded the St. Luke Penny Savings Bank in Richmond, Virginia, becoming the first black woman to charter and serve as president of a bank in the United States. Man, Shannon, say goodbye to our cousins.
Man. Bye, y'all. I'm going to be in the city tomorrow, man. Make sure you guys head over to YouTube and follow, like, subscribe. We're at 1017 The Troop on YouTube. Make sure you guys call us at any time of the day, 833-212-1017. You can text that number as well. And make sure to follow your host, Ray Mitty, at R-A-Y-N-I-T-T-I, and myself, maybe Shannon, M-A-Y-B-E. S-H-A-N-N-O-N across all platforms, and head over to Facebook where you should follow The Lunch Break. We're building a community over there. Don't miss out. See you tomorrow, y'all.
And I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. See y'all at what time is it? 2!